podcast.
Hooray!
Fabulous Adam Richard, outrageous Scott Brennan, punctual Toby Sullivan.
I take vitamins every day.
Right, I've got a new segment for you girls.
Right.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. Mm. What is it?
It's called... Wheel of Fortune!
And please welcome our host, Adam Richard.
Hello, hello. Hello, Sophie. Oh, don't touch the letters yet. I haven't called them. Basically.
Sophie DeLizio is.
Yeah, Sophie DeLizio. Climbing out of her chair to turn the letters.
Yes.
I'm going to.
How does this work?
Well, I'll spin up the squeal.
Okay.
A topic will appear.
Oh.
And then we will have to talk about it.
Okay.
Oh, God. Right, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. Right.
Well, this is basically because we ran out of Gator Zeds and we need a topic. Otherwise, we'll talk about ourselves and it gets very annoying.
You just have to be careful because on Wheel of Fortune, sometimes like Glynis from South Australia would be a bit enthusiastic on the spin.
Yes.
He'd spin it too hard and there'll be like fully 90 seconds of dead air while Burjo talked about the roof. Adriana. Yeah, great. Thanks, John. Great. Thanks, John.
You know who should be hosting Wheel of Fortune?
Who?
Richie Beno. He can talk for hours while nothing's happening.
Absolutely nothing.
Sometimes they talk about the fucking birds.
Top dollar, Glynis.
You ready?
Will you go for the saucepans or the shoes? Anyway, stop it.
Are you ready?
Are we going to spin the wheel?
Okay, spin the wheel.
Oh, my God.
Was that the wheel or did Scott fart?
Well, where do you think we house the wheel in the off-season?
Someone's been busy on YouTube, haven't they?
Yeah.
Very good.
Well,
what did it land on?
What's it landed on?
It has landed on the meeting we had recently in the backyard of a pub in Brunswick. And there was a hen's night occurring.
Oh, my.
We are talking hen's nights, people. I know we have often asserted that being gay is like being a hen.
And that was before we met some.
Yeah. That you know, they're the two groups that really belong together. Not gays and lesbians, but gays and hens. We were wrong, people.
We were wrong.
We were
it wasn't
wrong.
Even, you know what, it wasn't even like, you know, 11 o'clock on a Saturday night.
No, it was like 4 p.m. or something ridiculous.
On a Sunday or something. Yeah. It was a really moderate time.
Yeah.
Like, I'd only had a couple of Bloody Marys.
Just restorative, a couple of restorative.
Just restorative, just to ward off the scurvy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that late in the afternoon. We were sitting there trying to plan our craft.
Nobody believes you, Toby. Nobody believes you.
All right. We'd been out the night before and we were filling in gaps.
And
there was this screeching table of like birds of prey wearing devil's horns.
They were all wearing little things.
Oh, the L plates and the P plates and the light up fucking veil and the... Oh, my God. And the level of noise was horrific.
It was shrieking. It was like there were roadworks going on.
And I worry sometimes that that's what we sound like at 4 o'clock in the morning at the bottom of a bottle of Amel.
Well, yes. But if you're still up at 4 o'clock in the morning at a gay bar, you deserve everything you fucking get. We were
true.
In a pub on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. I have been told, Wes Snelling and I have been told, you know, in the beer garden at the at the Peel, how it's open air. So the people living in the flats around can hear.
Yes.
So they try to keep a lid on the noise. And Wes and I were maybe like in our...
they do keep a good lid on the noise by jamming 400 homos in there.
Yeah, because if you're ever going to keep a place quiet...
Yeah. That's I find it quite serene.
Yeah. Actually, the studio that we do the Puffcast in is actually just like there are poofters stuck to the walls to insulate. that's how effective that is.
It's like a beautiful Japanese garden in there.
But Wes and I have reenacted...
It's loud. It's really fucking loud.
The cast party from our Adelaide Fringe show where I put my foot through the couch while singing Defying Gravity.
I've been there when security has come around and told you to be quiet.
Yeah.
You're so loud at the PL.
Yeah.
You are louder than the rest of the PL put together.
Yes, but
I've seen that happen.
And that's why I think, maybe we are like the hens.
Well, maybe we are, but, you know, we pick our moments, I think.
Yeah, we're not... Well, there was that flight.
Oh,
on the way
back from Hobart.
We were pretty boisterous.
That,
That was pretty bad.
Was that the donut? We were just hysterical.
That was the donut.
Yeah,
donut.
We were hysterical.
And the waxy apple.
The waxy apple,
which was...
We got on the plane and there was this airline steward who was, you know, this little twinkie piece of work. And we sat down and someone just... And she was very shiny.
Very shiny, like tanned, shiny, perfect hair, eyebrows plucked to within an inch of their life.
But in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Like half an inch too low.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we sat down.
Like
and
Joan Crawford had too much Botox and had fallen.
Yes.
And someone just said, she's the waxy old apple, isn't
that
she?
Was you.
What was it? I can't remember.
He was shiny.
He was so
it's like
shiny.
He'd been buffed.
And so we referred to him throughout as the waxy apple.
The waxy apple.
And he was fascinating us. And we were still drunk off our heads from the night before. And to pass the time, because it was such a tedious flight.
Because it was Jetstar and we were sitting practically in the seat in front of us.
Yes. I dared Adam to order a donut from her.
and use the phrase, I want your donut.
I want your donut.
Oh, I didn't use that exact phrase. What I said was, because it was basically, let's sexually harass the waxy apple with a donut.
Yeah.
So Waxy comes
your
down
your challenge,
the aisle.
Your mission, should Waxy, you choose to accept it.
Waxy arrives and says...
Do you want anything from the cart? And Adam bats his eyelids and licks his lips and says, I want to talk about your donut.
Oh, I said, do you have a donut?
Do you have a donut?
And Toby and I have got our hands stuffed into our mouths.
He got so excited because he went, yes, we do. It's a Krispy Kreme.
Adam goes, is it glazed?
And then how did you actually order it?
I want it. And then he gave it to me.
So we're in peals of laughter at the idea of Adam paying $7.50 to sexually harass an airline steward.
I got a donut out.
Without him even realising it as well.
I know. Just... He was just nonplussed by the whole thing.
So sometimes we are that bad.
Yes.
Sometimes we are
yes.
that bad.
Yes, point
but
taken.
But these hens, they were... And do you know what else, too? I don't think the actual hen was really that into it. There was like another...
No.
There was like a member of the party.
There's always that one at a hen's night who... He's probably married, has kids. It's a one night out and it's like, no, we've got to do this. Come on.
Yeah.
She's always the most excited. And I think it was her.
Yeah. And she's the one that's like, oh, girls, does everyone want another glass of champs? Champs, you are.
And you know, things are crook when we have to, when we've been out screamed and we have to get up and leave.
Yeah.
Which we went to another pub.
Where we became those hens for the other people around.
That is true. That is what happened next.
Given that, you know, we were in that same bar probably a year before and other people were looking at us in disdain as we compared Scott to the Guatemalan sinkhole, which had happened like 24 hours earlier and hundreds of people had died after falling into a hole in the earth.
Oh, yeah. was that the time that... that kid showed up, like the good-looking kid showed up and we were like...
Ah, yeah.
And then Drew showed up and we're like, oh, hi, Drew. Hi, we were just doing a show for our podcast because we're famous and talented.
Oh, you were being so loud.
Yeah.
We're always so loud.
And then I love that. That is, you know, that's like proper, you know, racism there where we go, oh, those people, they're just like us. I hate them.
Yeah.
Those fucking hens.
It's been disproven. Once again, the natural enemy of the fag is someone who thinks they're more entertaining than the fag.
Yes.
The natural enemy of the fag is anything that distracts attention from the fag.
Yeah. But I reckon, like, that the feeling that I had when I realised they were a hen's night was actually worse than that feeling that you get in your stomach when you're on a flight and someone walks on with a screaming baby. You know, and you go,
although, when we went to Adelaide, I developed our new fun game to deal with screaming baby syndrome, which is mime along to the screaming baby like you're a drag queen.
Screaming baby drag.
Screaming baby drag. We actually came up with drag names.
Yeah, we did. There was I was Ivana Rusk. Yep.
And I was Anita Changing.
And we literally, every time the baby would pipe up, we'd just start miming to it. Like we were miming to a Mariah Carey song.
Yeah, right. Genius.
The trick is to imbue it with emotion as well. Just, you know, you've got to be angry or you've got, you know, sad.
Like when it's the big, that's when you're doing your big money note.
Yeah, right.
And then when it's like, that's when you're like doing a jaunty number. It's got a lot of curry.
Josh Thomas says that he doesn't mind babies on flights because he feels like they're the scapegoat. They're vocalizing what everybody else is feeling.
Yeah, right.
Like everybody else on the plane is feeling.
That's certainly how I felt when I ordered that donut. Oh,
you ate it anyway.
Yeah, I rimmed it, remember? I licked the glaze off before I chowed down.
Don't rim the donuts. Don't rim the donuts.
Not in the mouth.
Not in the mouth. Don't rim the donut in the mouth.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
Talk poofy to me.
Oh, you know what that means?
Time to spin the wheel.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
The squeal of fortune. I like the music.
It's great, isn't it?
Now, should I just hit it?
Yeah, go
just
on.
Just hit it. Do it.
Spin the wheel. Oh.
Top dollar. No whammies. Oh, that was the other one.
Oh.
What's it fallen on?
My trip to Queensland. Seriously?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I should explain, the Squeal of Fortune is all these things we intended to talk about in previous poofcasts.
Yes.
That we put in the wheel and spin it up and see what happens.
It's a lucky dip.
It's a lucky dip.
Yes.
Recently, I went to Queensland with my family.
Ooh. Your gamily.
My gamily. my husband and my stepchild. And, you know, given that we have a 10-year-old stepmonster, we went to the Gold Coast.
Queensland's a pretty good deal. Mm. You've got a 10-year-old in tow. Queensland is a pretty good result.
There's SeaWorld. There's Movie World.
Oh, yeah. Great.
It's built for families.
There's Shithouse Fingering Teenagers World. Oh, no, that's just during school, Lisa.
Yeah.
there's Morning After Pill World.
Yeah.
Also during schoolies. So we went and I had a confronting episode, which became 17 or 18 confronting episodes.
Right.
Where my boyfriend does not like the roller coaster. Terrified.
Right. Really?
Doesn't
really?
Like heights. Doesn't like things that go fast.
Really?
Doesn't like excitement.
I fucking love a roller coaster.
I love a roller coaster too.
Does the wee Ben like a roller coaster?
Of course he does. Yeah. He's 10. Yeah. And he likes PlayStation and roller coasters and all things ridiculous. So we went on several roller coasters and there were a number of roller coasters for which I was unsuitable.
Oh, right.
Not because I have a tendency to throw my hands in the air and squeal and go, oh, I'm going to die! But because I am 140 kilos of homo.
Right.
Too much Adam for this roller coaster.
Wow.
The safety bar wouldn't close.
Oh, no. You must be this much Adam to ride this ride.
You know how there's like you need to be this tall?
Yeah.
There's also you need to be this thin.
Right.
You can't be this fat. Close.
That means that you're fatter than that manufacturer could ever have imagined.
And they're Americans, those people that make those roller coasters.
Wow, how humiliational.
I know. Wow.
And were you embarrassed?
Yeah.
Because, of course, you would have had to get in and everybody sees you.
Yeah.
And get out.
And you'd be the one guy to get out and wander. Oh.
And then I'd say, look, I don't think I can go on this one. I'm not going to fit. And he'd be like, oh, we'll just try. I'm like, no, this is part of the horror, is the trying.
Yeah,
and so I did it like 5 or 6 times. On different rides where I did not fit. Weirdly, the one I did fit on was the Scooby-Doo Spooky Coaster.
Which is really awesome. It's so good.
And I convinced my boyfriend to go on it, and he hates the roller coaster. And the Spooky Coaster, the Scooby-Doo Spooky Coaster, is like, you go, oh, it's Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, and, and it starts off
and
as
it starts
kind of a
ghost off like,
train.
You know, like, do you remember that ride they used to have on the roof at Meijer when you'd go and see Santa?
Yeah.
It was awful. It was the worst thing about it was that it would hit a door and the door would open.
Yeah.
So this was going, you know, up and down, little gentle things. And then at one point, you go in what feels like a lift, and it's like, oh, we're going up. How exciting. And then you drop backwards and plummet.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Inside, like this giant
it's got one of those Tower of Terror features.
Well, it's kind of like it becomes like a Mad Mouse.
Yeah, it becomes a big roller coaster in a giant shed.
Oh my god, that is fantastic!
With lasers shooting, and apparently you can have a function downstairs while people are screaming overhead.
Really,
super. Yeah.
I hope they've got some kind of cover over the function.
there's a little marquee for the
spoon. Okay, right.
So yeah, poor boyfriend screaming. But then we went to Wet and Wild World.
Mm-hmm. Wet Water World
or whatever it's called, the Wet World. And they have actual kilogram measurements on some of their rides saying you cannot ride if you are over which is, I think, was 120.
Right.
And being 20 kilos over that, I didn't want to risk shooting at the end of a pipe or just stopping dead.
Or worse, getting lodged inside.
Yeah. Like Augustus Gloomp.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have that once years ago, before I was even this fat. I went on a ride and I had, the shorts I had on had like a weird grain to them, and they fought with the fiberglass ride. So I would go, it was the speed slide. I was on the speed slide and I go, and come to a halt and have to get up and walk a bit and then slide down and then come to another halt. And the guys at the top blowing is just going, come on, fatty, get off. I know.
That's
and then
horrible.
Had to
That's
walk horrible. At the end of it to get out of the pool.
Oh.
On the speed slide.
Oh,
That's really horrible.
At least that is horrible. Blaming the fabric of my shorts.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've heard of that happening.
Yeah.
I've read about that before.
Yeah, if only they cut that fabric the other way, then things would have been better.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was.
But yeah, so I have...
Gaffer shorts, don't wear them.
I have decided to lose weight.
Right.
Like, actually, instead of just going, I went to Weight Watchers, which is like a cult.
Yeah.
Is that like the Scientology of weight loss?
Kind of. Like, because, you know, like, Jenny Craig's and your... my favourite one is Light and Easy, which I did do because it appeals to me as a fat, lazy person because they bring the food to your house.
Mm.
Not only do you not have to do any form of exercise, but they will deliver your food already.
You don't even have to go shopping.
You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to cook. You just, it just arrives.
Answer the door and take what you're given.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then eat it and magically lose weight.
Right.
Because they don't give you enough food.
So Weight Watchers, do you go to meetings?
You go to meetings, which are really annoying.
I was going
to
say, what are the other people like? Is there someone there who's really fat?
Oh, there's...
Is there someone who's like bland
like
fat?
Big boombas.
There's a lot of bland fat. But there's a lot of people who aren't that fat at all, who just, they have these things called lifetime members, who just keep going.
Right.
So it is like a cult.
Yeah. They just keep going. They just love it.
But a lot of these weight loss things are about that. It's not just about not eating or whatever. Mm. It's about a whole change in your
lifestyle.
Well, they try to get you to buy all this shit. Like there's,
really?
The pedometer's $40. Like a pedometer should cost $1. But because their pedometer adds up your pro points, because they've got this whole pro point system at the Weight Watchers.
Right.
So it's a 40. I was like, I'm not paying 40. I just bought one on my phone. Downloaded one off the internet.
Yeah, right.
Wow.
I can do the sums. But yeah, you do. Like, it's all points. So you learn kind of, you know, the pros and cons of fat versus sugar versus
What's the kind of age group that's...
They're generally women in their 40s by the looks of things.
Right.
Who are... I go to the meetings in the city, so it's all office workers.
Right.
Who... No one stays around for the meeting. This is the worst thing about it. You weigh in every week.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, it's the biggest loser.
No one else sees what you weigh in. Like, you're the only one who sees it. But you have to go and stand on these electronic scales.
Heinous.
And while I was in Adelaide, I went to a meeting while you bitches were asleep.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
And that was even funnier. Like, in Adelaide, I felt like they... Their tips for weight loss were making me lose my mind with hilarity.
Like what?
Like, don't eat lard.
Yeah. Don't walk down Hindley Street.
It was like, well, you know, so when morning tea comes around, it's very difficult. So what do we do, girls? Only eat half the muffin. That's right. Only eat half the muffin. And what's a good way when you're going to the supermarket of fitting in that incidental exercise? How do we fit in some incidental exercise? You know what I mean by incidental exercise?
So it's really not that far away from Little Britain, is it?
And then the woman goes, like one of the women goes, you park in the car park furthest from the door. That's right. When you drive to the supermarket, don't get the park out the front.
Wow.
Don't drive around and around looking for a good park. Park far away.
That's right.
So you can get a good 2 minutes of exercise.
That's right. And when you get the forklift to bring your food out.
You know, on the theme of self-improvement, I've been thinking about joining a gym because I'm a balding 40-year-old. I need to hang on to something. But I'm too embarrassed to.
Why?
Why?
Because I don't want to – it will – make me look vain.
Going to the gym.
I just want to suddenly have muscles just by accident.
Oh, right.
I moved a couch or something. Maybe they just arrived. So I'm
I have that with being thin, but it's not an overnight thing.
Yeah.
It's like months and months.
And it does work, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm making an effort.
Right.
I just wished on a star.
How would anyone know until... Like, it's not like one day you will have muscles. Like, they're going to gradually grow.
But Peter will know where I'm going. I'll have to say...
So you're embarrassed about what your boyfriend might think of you going to the gym.
Yes.
Is that it?
I think I might have to buy a dog so I can have... walk it, to pretend to walk it so I can... Maybe just pretend I've bought a dog. I bought a dog and I'm keeping it outside. Yeah, I'm going to go and walk the dog, Peter. Walk the dog.
Can I have a little hypothetical moment with you? Okay, you've told Peter I'm going to walk the dog whatever other thing you're doing because you're going to the gym.
I have a meeting.
Whatever you've got on instead of going to the gym, like that you're lying about. He's just going to think you're having an affair.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not as embarrassing. That is way less embarrassing.
Waiting for that conversation. Toby, are you having an affair?
No, I'm just going to the gym.
I'm going to the gym. I'm sorry.
I've been doing press-ups behind your back. Yeah, that is way less humiliating than discovering that
really?
You're making an effort. Absolutely. Definitely.
I find that weird.
This is the same kind of psychology that that I won't buy toilet paper.
I beg your pardon? How do you wipe your ass?
I make Peter do it.
Really?
You are embarrassed to buy toilet paper.
Yep. I will never buy toilet paper. And I won't let Peter buy it if I'm with him.
How long have we been doing this show with him and we didn't realise he's like a little bit fucked up?
I know. We always realised he was a little bit fucked up.
Toilet paper.
When Peter comes home, because you know what else Peter does? It drives me crazy. He will always buy like big, like 12 packets of it. Right.
Yeah, because fucking neurotic about it.
But that means that everyone sees him go into our house with 12 packets of toilet paper. You can't just buy two and put it in the bag with all the other shopping and no one knows.
It's not
bad
like
enough you're at the checkout.
It's not like you don't shit.
But there's no point in just being flamboyant about it.
It's not being flamboyant.
It's not like you're holding a Mardi Gras parade for your bowel movements.
It is. If you're at the checkout with a 12 roll.
He's got his slab of toilet paper on his shoulder going, yep, going home for a curry party. Bring it on. Exactly.
Big weekend of pooing ahead of me.
The most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life was one time on Christmas Eve, mind you, someone, it was a total stranger, didn't know him, on Christmas Eve, walking down the street with two pizzas and toilet paper. I thought, you, sir, are disgusting.
You, sir, are covering both ends of the transaction.
On Christmas, if you don't mind. There's nothing sacred.
Did you go up and knock the pizzas out of his hand and say, there are children on this street,
well, that's exactly what I felt like. Disgusting. Do you know what else I do? You know, we're at the supermarket. I've got a lot of supermarket problems, right?
Yeah. Tracy Grimshaw needs to hear about
it. How they've got the screen, where all your items come up? I always position myself between the screen and the people in the queue behind me because it is none of their business what I'm buying.
It is absolutely
none of their business what I'm buying and whether I've gone for the cheap brand or the expensive brand or anything like that.
You are the fucking Rain Man of Melbourne.
It is really embarrassing. I hate going shopping because people judge you from what you shop.
How much of this behaviour is your mother's?
Some.
How does your mum feel about toilet paper?
Learned. I would never discuss such a thing with her.
What about things like condoms or lube?
Do you know what else? I hate the word toilet.
Really?
I hate saying toilet because I'm going to the toilet. It's like, nails down a blackboard.
Did you say bathroom?
Bathroom.
Or facility?
Or facility. Yep. Any explicit reference?
Did you say shitter?
Shitter.
You can't say shitter. I don't even like shitter.
Nah.
Any explicit reference to the word toilet is revolting.
Because Toby will often say when we're out together, I'm just off to powder my nose.
Because I don't like saying toilet.
How do you go with buying things like condoms and lube and, you know?
It's not my department. That's Peter's problem. It's nothing to do with
basically,
me.
If someone wants to have sex with you or have you not shit all over the floor.
Bring your own, guys. Bring your own. Not my department. There are some bridges I will not cross.
Wow.
Speaking of toilets and toilet paper,
have you ever heard
this story? A friend of mine, now I'm going to have to talk about people and not say their names. A friend of mine used to live with a comedian who we know, whose name I will tell you after this story.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a weird dude.
Everyone hit your cough buttons.
Talk poofy to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Yep.
Okay.
All right. We've heard
Got
the
it.
Name.
Got it.
So,
Toby Sullivan. Right. Okay.
They ran out of toilet paper.
Right. In the house.
In the house, in the share house that they lived in together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Mr. Comedian.
Mr. Funny Bones.
Felt compelled to go to the toilet. And rather than go, oh, I might pop down the shops and buy some, because maybe he has a problem like Toby, he wiped his ass with slices of white bread.
That is so in character, isn't it?
Wow.
And then flushed the bread?
I gather. I don't know.
Or did said housemate come home and go, oh, someone's left me a Nutella sandwich.
In the bowl.
Yeah.
Wiped his ass with bread.
With white bread.
Oh, also, God. When he lived in this house, he didn't like doing the dishes. And if he'd cooked something in a pot and it was kind of stuck on, rather than wash said pot,
he would throw the pot away?
He would bury it in the backyard. They were found later on when they were moving out of the house.
Wow. He would bury it.
Yeah.
Wow.
He just makes you look like a...
Yeah, now who's the freak?
Yeah.
Now who's the bread-ass wiping freak? Now who's making shit sandwiches, huh? Yeah, exactly.
Literally white bread.
Exactly. That's extraordinary. Man, he would win at Survivor.
They don't get bread on Survivor.
Oh, yeah, it'd be terrible.
Yeah.
He'd have to wipe his ass on Russell Hands.
Or his nephew.
Any addictions?
There were some episodes, but I'd rather not talk about them.
Talk poofy to me.
So jaunty, isn't it?
See, the worst thing is, there's all these Gen Ys listening to this going, what the fuck is that music?
What is that noise?
What is that noise they keep talking over the top of?
It's Guy Sebastian's new single.
No, it's the Squeal of Fortune, where we talk about something that we spin up on the wheel that we had put down for another time that we never got around to. So this is our bucket of shit episode.
Oh, come on, they're all buckets of shit.
Yeah, what am
this
I
is
saying?
A just
different.
Bucket
it's a different size bucket. Oh, here we go.
Here goes the wheel.
Here we go.
Where it stops, nobody knows.
It stopped very quickly.
What's it stopped on?
It has stopped on the Folsom Street Fair.
Oh.
The infamous San Francisco sex party, for want of a better word.
Basically.
It's like an extreme pride march or a carnival.
I was in San Francisco during the year, and I flew into San Francisco, and
boy, were your arms tired.
We were driving into the city from the airport, and it was just, the freeway was like jammed solid.
Yeah.
Right? And I said to the taxi driver, why is it so busy? And he went, oh, it's because it's Folsom Street Fair today. All the exits are shut. And I'm like, Folsom Street Fair?
Oh, my God.
Stop the car. Let me out now.
And you had no idea.
I had no idea it was on. But it's this huge leather and fetish festival. Yeah. They block off have you ever been? Have you been?
No.
They block off six city blocks, in the middle of, San Francisco gaytopia. Folsom Street is dotted. It's kind of the rundown half, and it's dotted with heaps of gay bars. So they block off six blocks. So it must be a mile long. And there's something 400,000 people there.
Wow.
All in leather and fetish gear.
So dirty.
And they've got stands and shops and stalls and shows and stages.
Oh, it's not the midsummer or whatever. The stalls are kind of the liberal parties next to someone selling, those mobiles made out of cutlery. Oh, it's not that kind of
It is a little bit like that. There's there's stalls selling, porn or fetish gear or whatever next to, the
gay radio station.
Gay and Green or whatever. But it is outrageous. Anything goes.
Right.
Wow.
Well, but you
I have
did
seen
send
some
me
footage.
A photo. That completely disturbed me.
Yes, there was a guy. Well, because you can do it. A lot of people will go there. There'll be guys wearing leather pants or the harnesses or, whatever. That's pretty standard issue.
Yeah.
There were heaps of guys wearing wrestling gear and sort of lycra and all that sort of stuff. There was heaps of trannies.
Yeah.
Getting around. Also, just okay to walk around nude. That's fine. Just be nude.
Okay. Don't
walk around nude.
It.
That's great. All right. Not a problem. and there was one trainee walking around who was like dressed up like a Southern Belle, you know, like a bonnet and everything and lace and all that sort of gear, but only from the waist up, and was wearing fishnets with a huge cock hanging out.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Downstairs.
That's great.
Just walking around.
That's how I imagine Blanche and the Golden Girls would have looked back in the deep south.
There were some Furbies. There were a few Furbies, or what are they called? Furries.
Furries, yeah.
Dressed up. There was one stand where guys would pretend to be dogs and wrestle each other. They would put on like the dog masks.
Oh, yeah.
There's like leather dog masks and little mittens for their fists. And then they would wrestle each other in this little pen, and each dog would have an owner who would come over and good dog. And all this kind of gear. There was spanking. Oh, my God. There was so much spanking. There were, like, dozens of spanking. Like, I got sick of the spanking.
Right.
I was walking around a corner, and I could just
hear
it's
not like the Australian Flower Show, is it?
No, it is not. And I could hear this sort of slapping sound. Like, do you remember going to the Royal Show and hearing the wood chop?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded exactly like
–
it was exactly like that, but it was eight people with butt plugs, like dog-tail butt plugs.
What?
Like rubber dog tails
that
you stick up your ass and you've got a tail sticking out, getting whipped on giant wooden crosses.
Wow.
All in a row.
Oh,
that's
no.
really
it was
cool.
really.
Oh, great.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, it was definitely a thing. I saw so many things. I saw things that I don't have names for.
Right.
Extraordinary thing. There was one dude who was just sitting in the gutter. Just an old, 55, I guess, and he was just nude and just sitting in the gutter, and people were taking photos, and he had a sign saying, "You can piss on me if you want." So,
get out.
So that was fine. What was the other thing? There was something else in particular that was super kooky. Oh, that's right. Because everyone's walking around nude or with their cock out or whatever, the etiquette of the situation, it's a very crowded street, the etiquette of the street is that if someone's walking around with their cock out, you can just have a go.
It's fair game.
You can just touch their cock.
You can touch their cock. You can blow them if you want to.
Right.
Get out.
You can, yeah.
And people were just doing that.
People were just doing that.
If your cock's out, get it in you.
So half the crowd were just walking around getting blown in their Southern Belle tranny fishnet cock rings, right? Oh, my God, I saw a $220 cock ring.
What? What was it made of?
Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Because, of course, they had every kind of, gadget known to mankind. And it was this kind of, I don't know, what it must have been made of some particular, like...
titanium.
Allergenic metal or specially weighted with a fucking gyroscope and a barista hidden inside.
Can I suggest that maybe it was Selangor Pewter?
You'll love this Selangor You'll be the envy of the next orgy.
So half the people were doing that, and then half the people were just like people from San Francisco, just like mums and dads that had come down to take photos.
Wow.
Oh.
Let's go look at the freaks.
So, there's
like, it's like the penguin parade with its coffee.
Yeah. So there'll be some...
Not so much happy feet, happy ass.
There'll be some village people leather man blowing a dude in a wrestling suit with like half a dozen... house frows standing around taking photos.
Wow.
That is weird.
It was mental. It was mental. And of course, I mean, as we know, I'm afraid of buying toilet paper. So this was a confronting situation.
I can imagine. I was just going to say, geez.
I wanted to take heaps of photos, but I was embarrassed about looking like too much of a tourist. So I'm walking around just like, I'm cool with this. This happens all the time in Australia. This is totally normal. This is fine.
Inside going,
So it's pretty crazy days.
That is
wow. That sounds like fun though. And I imagine it's all about the exhibitionism of it How fun!
Oh, that is freaky.
Because it all got a bit much, and I went home and had a lie down. And
by lie down, do you mean lamb shank?
I just had a lie down. Right? I was just lying down. We don't need to. Why you gotta know everything?
Was it an active lie down?
I was just resting my eyes.
Right, okay.
because you say it's about the exhibitions and stuff. I went home, and then about 10 o'clock, I thought, right, I'm going to go out because I reckon shit is kicking off in this town after that day. And no, I went down to Castro Street. There's nothing happening.
Oh, really?
So everyone had done their thing.
Everyone had.
And just gone, all right, well, that's it. That's all done.
Oh, well, that was a lovely day out on the street blowing
everybody. That was nice. I got blown by a dog. I think I might go home now. A little bit tired. So it was exactly that.
I think going out and kicking on is a particularly Melbourne thing. Because, you know, like when you're in Sydney and there's craziness and you go, oh, my God, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be. And then you go out and there's no one there.
Yeah.
I also think, actually, to be fair, I think that they the organisers throw a huge sex party straight after. So there were probably people hung upside down from the roof.
Getting rogered senseless with their dog butt pods.
Because there were lots of sex parties on, so people were handing out flyers. Sex party 2 blocks. Sex party 2 blocks. Sex party 2 blocks.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're not even discreet.
No. What an amazing thing to just stumble upon, though.
But just think of something. Think of something. Someone was doing it or you could get it.
Right.
Wow. You know, it was like it was weird. It was the most sexually loaded, like, but it clocked it.
Yeah.
Because you could just walk around and take photos for the folks at home if you wanted to. Like,
so was it kind of that all that kind of extreme sort of stuff that seemed so dirty, did it seem less dirty because it was so? Did it take some of the sting out of it?
Did you have a raging boner all day?
Well, no, it wasn't dirty at all.
Right.
It was not dirty in the least. And
it's kind of part of the fun, that stuff, that it is a bit edgy and dirty.
And it really wasn't actually that erotic, to tell you the truth.
No, I would be weirdly anthropological, I think. You'd be right, I see.
Yeah, because
it was like the car show, but with kind of...
Like seeing an old man sitting in the gutter asking to be pissed on, you just went, okay, well, that's what you've got.
Yeah,
okay? That's your thing.
I'm going to move on to the mobiles made out of cutlery.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay, you make mobiles out of cutlery. Oh, well, that's your thing.
Yeah,
like everyone had a thing, and so because everything was outrageous, everything was normal. And it really wasn't that, well, all right, okay, there were moments that were quite erotically charged. But it wasn't, it wasn't.
Was there anyone walking around with a slab of toilet paper?
I would have gone home.
Yeah.
That is disgusting.
There are children.
I know what you're implying.
Wow.
But yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, and just to blunder into it.
Yeah.
Because I think if you went going, I'm going to get a pizza, I think it would, you know what I mean, win expectations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Would be.
But when you just go, someone says it's on and you go, I wonder what that's like. Oh, that's like.
Oh, shitballs.
Holy shitballs in the eye.
So yeah, go to Folsom. Go to Folsom.
There you
Folsom
go. Straight from. Yeah.
Right.
Good ad, Toby.
There you go.
I'm distressed by the dog thing.
Yeah. I'm going to go piss on myself now.
Don't take the toilet, mate.